1 year ago, Grover Nicodemus Street got his first assignment treating a COVID-19 patient. He's a traveling nurse, and in the last year, he has been from New Jersey to New York to Florida to California. He joins us now to talk about what a year of this pandemic has been like. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you, Mr. Shapiro.
When you tell your grandkids about this time, what are you going to tell them?
And you know what? Oddly enough, or strangely enough, I do have grandkids, and I my oldest is 4, and I talk to them through their parents. So I tell them how scary it is, and I don't sugarcoat anything for my patients, family, friends about this whole pandemic. I just tell them like it is, because it is scary. It's very horrific. It's been horrifying the whole entire year.
Yeah. You said it's been a horrific year. I know you have served in wars. You're a military veteran. How would you compare the two experiences?
To be honest with you, what I have seen throughout the year, I would rather die any other way of dying than dying with coronavirus. It's a sad way to go. And not only is it a sad way to go, your family is not there to hold your hand. The last person that a patient would see is my ugly mug. And war doesn't even compare to this.
Can you tell us about one patient you've treated in this last year who you'll always remember?
There are a lot of memories from a lot of patients, but I did have this one 33-year-old. She came in. She had some comorbidities. She had diabetes, high blood pressure. She's a Black American woman. She had a twin sister who would always call me every day. Fortunately, I was continuity of care goes a long way in nursing and healthcare. Mm-hmm. Taking care of the patient, you know that patient inside and out. And you know their family members, and you know their needs. So her sister would call me every day, and she would tell her sister that she's the strongest person that she knows. Even though the patient was intubated, sedated, paralyzed, these people, I think they could still hear, oddly enough. She was my most memorable because she was the first patient that I have ever had in 20 plus years as a nurse that died on me. And I would go in her room. I would put my hand on her shoulder. I would sing her church hymns. I grew up in the church and she was a Christian. And her sister said that she would love for me to pray with her. And I would do that just for her sister and for the patient. And that patient right there was one of my most memorable patients.
And she was in her 30s. And I'm sure she wasn't the last.
No, sir. I have seen, probably 3,000 deaths throughout the year. And even going into this year, it's not as bad in the facility I'm at now, but patients do still get this virus and they do come in and unfortunately they die. And I had one of the youngest ones I've had this year. She was 46 years old, and it's awful.
Because you have been to so many different parts of the country over the course of this pandemic, have you experienced different approaches to the disease? I mean, for a long time, it felt like every city, state, county was coming up with their own protocols.
It's so different going from state to state. It's almost like going to a different country. I've been to other countries, and going from the East Coast to the West Coast to the Deep South, it's totally different approach. The culture is totally different in the hospital. You would think a hospital culture would be the same, but it is different. And the way they treated these patients were different. There wasn't a set modality or an algorithm at the time to treat these patients. And I felt like in some facilities, it was almost like experimental. That's what you do in science. That's what doctors do. They experiment. They practice medicine. So in this unwanted circumstance, this is what has happened throughout the past year, is medicine was really put to the ultimate practice.
Yeah. How did you deal with your own fear of getting the virus?
I had it the first time I was diagnosed. I couldn't sleep at night. I called my physician and I said, I don't know if it's just anxiety, but I feel like I'm short of breath. And my only symptom was loss of taste and smell. And with that said, I think 20% of the deaths were healthcare workers. That's to include the nursing staff, doctors, housekeeping, everybody. So, I mean, it's like playing Russian roulette. You risking your life to go in a patient's room. And I got the virus wearing two masks. I was wearing an N95 and a surgical mask. So the reason it's called the N95 is because it's 95% effective. That 5% chance of getting it, I got it. And it was scary.
I understand you've been vaccinated. Can you tell us what that experience was like?
Getting the vaccine was one of the the best that could happen during this pandemic. And I think everybody should get the vaccine. And that, I mean, that's how it's going to work. The more people that get the vaccine, the better it works. I mean, you can't get 10 million people. You need 80 million people or more. And it's to protect you and your family from this nasty, nasty virus. Having a vaccine has made me feel more comfortable going into the patient's rooms. And, you know, I feel great. I feel much safer. My work environment is much more at ease.
This pandemic is not over. So how do you feel about the road ahead for you as a nurse working on the front lines of this pandemic?
You know, I was actually wanting to retire this year or last year. And, you know, the only reason I didn't was my wife was like, you should go out and learn more about this virus. And I've learned a lot about this virus since I've been working on the front lines. And I really do want to retire. You know, I don't want to get coronavirus and die. But what goes through my mind is I've seen a lot of doctors and nurses and healthcare workers quit because they can't handle it. And if we have all these healthcare people quitting their jobs, who's going to take care of this? All the sick people that come in the hospital? And there's more to come. They're talking about another surge and all these different variants. I mean, this battle is not over yet. When you have something that's created from Mother Nature that's killing off our people in the world, it's not just the United States, the entire world. You know, you can't stop fighting. It's a war that we're going to be in until it's over.
You know, I'm just thinking about your long career as a nurse in which you never experienced a single patient dying on you. And in the last year, you said there have been maybe 3,000 patients you've dealt with who have died of this disease. What impact do you think this is going to have on you for the rest of your life after this pandemic is over, this year that you've been through?
You know, and when I, early on as a nurse, I made up in my mind that I will desynthesize myself to what I see. And just because a person desynthesizes themselves to certain events doesn't mean that they don't care. It's in your subconscious. It's in there. It may creep out, and it's called PTSD. And there'll be a lot of nurses and healthcare workers suffering from PTSD, but not just healthcare workers, family members too. They're going to all suffer from PTSD. This is a scar. This is a wound that's going to have a scar that's going to last a long time.
Grover Nicodemus Street is a travel nurse with Fast Staff and author of the upcoming book, Chasing the Surge, Life as a Travel Nurse in a Global Pandemic. Thank you for the work you've been doing and for talking with us about it.
Thank you, Mr. Shapiro. I appreciate your time.